Hi, and welcome to Girls in Pole Positions live show. We're Jasmine, Gemma and Amrit, and our guest today is April, and we will be talking about the Brazilian Grand Prix that took place yesterday. So it makes sense to start by talking about qualifying, and Hamilton initially achieved pole position. We'll move on to talking about what happened to him afterwards. But initially, were you happy about him getting pole, Amrit?
Definitely. I think as a British driver and also seeing his battle with Max so far, I really, really wanted him to prove himself this weekend especially. And I think he really did that in qualifying. But I think after like everything that happened and the incredible drive he had, he just had a great weekend and getting that pole just started it all off great.
Do you agree, Jasmine?
Yeah, I do agree. I was really happy when I found out that he got pole position. It was just nice to see after the last few races when he hasn't managed to achieve that.
And obviously, we all know it didn't last long, unfortunately. With the FIA investigating into things afterwards, his pole was taken away from him due to a DRS penalty. To be exact, it was a violation with the DRS mechanism. His rear wing was found to infringe the regulations. Do you think this was a fair decision, April?
Yeah, I mean, if you break the rules, you break the rules. I mean, it was only like a missing, you know, it was like an extra few millimetres. But I guess, you know, they have the rules for a reason. And if they sort of say, oh, we're going to allow you, I don't know, like a little buffer of 5 millimetres, like what's to say someone going, oh, well, I want a buffer of 10, and then you can just have it as massive as you want. Like, I feel like the rules are the rules for a reason. So I think it was fair that they definitely had to penalise him in some way. And I guess at the moment, the rules from that is you're just completely disqualified. So that meant he had to go back to 20th.
Yeah, if you do start pushing the rules, it can very easily get out of hand. Do you agree, Amrit?
Yeah, I definitely agree. I do think, though, the seatbelt fine, that was something I was a bit shocked at because I didn't know that happened because he got Hamilton got fined €5,000 for that. So I think, yeah, the fines, but to them, fines mean nothing with their salaries, let's be honest. And with Verstappen's 50,000 fine.
I don't think he really cared.
Yeah, he really did. I think he said in an interview, that's just less FIFA points for me or something.
And it's like when the FIA like black and white flagged him for weaving as well. He was like, yeah, cool, tell them I say hi. Like he did not care at that time. What about you, Jasmine? Do you think the fine was fair for Verstappen, the 50,000 one?
I don't know. I feel like it's hard to say because, as you said before, like the fines don't really mean much to the drivers because like that's not really going to affect them. It's not going to affect their ability to compete. And obviously it's hard to know whether Max actually did damage anything on Hamilton's car by touching it. But at the end of the day, he shouldn't have been touching it in the first place. So I do think he deserved some kind of penalty for it. But I feel like a 50,000 like euro fine just isn't like worthwhile. Like they might as well have just given him no penalty.
Let's face it, he could have just gone to Christian Horner and Horner would have been straight on the phone to the FIA, getting it all sorted as he does. And while we're on the topic of qualifying as well, I had to ask about a driver who is often found at the back of the grid as well, Nikita Mazepin. We saw him cry this weekend. We saw him cry in an interview due to a mistake he made in his qualifying lap. He missed out on P19 when he's, you know, never really in P19, so I guess that is quite an achievement for him, but it put him back down to P20. And he also claimed on his team radio that he was crying in the car at the American Grand Prix due to a lonely and boring race. Have you guys seen the recent scandal that's involving him? There's videos of him arguing with bouncers. Do you think this crying is a publicity stunt to distract from that, Amrit?
I mean, you never know. I mean, there's so much going on behind the scenes. I do think it was odd that he was crying, given he is at the back of the grid every race. So why would he start crying now? Like, I did think that when I watched it. But I guess it's hard to say when we don't know as fans the full story. But I do agree it could potentially be for publicity.
Yeah, because obviously, like, we all know that sport is very mentally straining, and it could just be a sign of a driver who is genuinely struggling with a car that we all know isn't the easiest to handle. What did you think, April?
Yeah, I mean, Amrit literally said it there, like, he's literally always at the back, and he's literally always, like, on his own doing a so-called, like, lonely race. Like, surely he's used to it by now, and obviously, you know, they are very competitive people, and getting that P19 in qualifying would have probably been really important to him, but to miss out and then be crying over it seems a little bit odd. I don't know if it's maybe a publicity stunt, but I feel like at the same time, like, why would you want to cry on camera? It makes you seem like you can't really handle it, and then maybe you shouldn't be in this sport because it's a very high pressured environment, and you should be just like analyzing where you went wrong and looking at how you can improve for next time.
Yeah, because I guess like showing your more human weak side is a very important part of it. We've all seen a lot of the drivers expressing how they're feeling and stuff, but to cry on camera isn't something you really see very often, so it did take me by surprise to see that. So moving on to the sprint qualifying now, not the sprint race, the sprint qualifying as they insist that we call it. So after Lewis's penalties, Max started P1, which at the time did seem like a huge advantage for Red Bull in the championship. Did you expect him to win the sprint starting at the front, Jasmine?
I did expect him to win because I feel like Red Bull would want to maximise their advantage over Mercedes, especially given Lewis's penalty. So I did kind of expect them to sort of just take that for the grabs. But the fact that he didn't actually win, I was quite surprised at that.
Yeah, I was as well, to be fair. Like, with how often we've seen Bottas struggling to defend against Max, I was quite surprised that Bottas just went straight in there in the first corner and took the lead on turn one. We've seen him struggle a lot defending against Verstappen, as I said, but his sprint performances have been very good, having won two in a row. What did you think of his performance overall?
Yeah, Bottas has seemed to sort of improve as the season's gone on. I feel like I've seen some things written that he's, you know, more comfortable now that he knows he has a multi-year deal for, I think maybe 2 or 3 years at Alfa Romeo. So with his whole time at Mercedes, it was constantly just being like a one-year deal, and he was having to prove himself, and there was obviously lots of pressure, and especially with his teammate being Lewis Hamilton, it was always a struggle for Bottas to sort of be seen as the number one driver, whereas now he's going to be seen as like the star at Alfa Romeo, and he's going to be guaranteed to have like multiple years, so it's like that safety net, and hopefully he sort of sees like a bit of a brighter future. So I feel like maybe he's relaxed into the season more this year, and then when he's now relaxed he can drive his best. And yeah, the sprint race, sprint qualifying thing, it seems to be like his sort of thing at the moment, and yeah, winning two in a row is very impressive. And yeah, maybe he's just like trying to get as many wins and as many of those little reef like things with the flowers, because there's only so many, and next year he isn't really going to be winning any races, is he? So he's making the most of it while he can.
He suits the wreaths, I think. I think he looks great with one, so it was nice to see him win another. And yeah, I do think it's a very key thing to speak about with his multi-year contract now, because I feel like you've seen such a big change in him since he got that deal with Alfa Romeo. Amrit, do you think the pressure of one-year contracts has been what's affecting him recently with his performances?
Definitely, and I think from the Beyond the Grid podcast interview, that we really made that clear, where Bottas just said that he feels so much more secure knowing that his future is safe with Alfa Romeo, at least for another couple years. Because I think also him being Lewis's teammate, that does play a lot into it, and not being Mercedes' star driver. So I think, yeah, the security of multi-year deals does play a lot, because it is, as you said earlier, mentally like straining the sport, because so many eyes are on you each weekend, and especially at the top with the constructors, Red Bull, Mercedes, I'm sure the pressure is a lot for everyone involved there. So yeah, I'm sure Bottas is looking forward to having some security next year.
Yeah, definitely. And also, as well as his sprint race performances, we've also seen him take two pole positions in a row now. I definitely think his contract with Alfa Romeo has had something to do with that, because he can really relax into it. Jasmine, what do you think his performances at Alfa Romeo will be like next year? Because obviously April said that he won't be winning any races or anything, which I have to agree with. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I do think he's not going to be winning races anymore, but I think that he's going to be a lot happier in his mental health. He's going to be a lot more relaxed. It's going to be a lot less pressure. And hopefully that in itself will just show that he'll do well. He might not be like winning races anymore or even on the podium, but he'll probably still be in the points, and it'll still probably be like a good move for him to do that, just for his mental health perspective, because I think he said in an interview that his like highlights at F1 have been when he was with Williams rather than Mercedes, which just kind of goes to show like how Mercedes have treated him and how it's kind of affected him quite badly. So I think regardless of how well he does like with Alfa Romeo, I think it's the right move for him, and the fact that he's obviously like seeming more relaxed now, knowing that he's going with them next year, is just a huge benefit.
Yeah, definitely. The Beyond the Grid podcast is where he spoke about that. I listened to it the other day, and he kind of seemed to explain that the one-year contracts that he's had have really tainted his years at Mercedes. And as you said, he highlighted one of his years at Williams in 2014 as his favourite year in Formula One. He said he wouldn't have accepted another one-year contract had Mercedes offered it to him. Do you agree with that, April? Do you think he actually would have turned that down?
Yeah, it's hard to know. I mean, it probably depends on like the money, and it's kind of bad to say, but like Bottas is getting a bit old now, so he probably does want to make as much money as he can before he retires back to Finland and some hot tubs and stuff.
We all know what you get up to on Drive to Survive, Bottas.
Literally. But I think with Mercedes, they probably were knowing that he's like a reliable option. But they weren't wanting to give him the contract because of George Russell. But if they didn't have George Russell, I feel like they still would have probably offered it to him, and it would have still been 1 year again, because that's how it's been all the previous years. And so I feel like he probably would have accepted it, even though he's literally said that. But I guess, you know, he can't say anything against Alfa Romeo now. Like, they're going to make him like their star driver, they're going to treat him really well, and they're giving him a seat. So yeah, and money, obviously. Yeah, I mean, if he didn't have that seat, he possibly would be out of Formula One. I don't know what other seats could open up. I feel like the other Alfa Romeo seat is also sort of a talking point. And maybe some people are saying there's maybe like a seat in the AlphaTauri, but again, that's a Red Bull, so they're not going to really take him. So yeah, as long as Bottas is still in the sport, which I think he definitely deserves to be. Obviously, during the however many years with Hamilton, he hasn't, you know, outperformed his teammate across the whole season, but there have been many chances and many times where like he's won races and he's taken a pole, which obviously like the qualifying is sort of like the raw test of a driver, the raw test of their speed. And you know, when have you seen a teammate beating Max Verstappen in qualifying? Like, never really, for like the last 3 years. So the fact that Bottas has been able to do that against Lewis Hamilton, it has shown that he's a really good driver, and he still has a lot to bring to the sport, so it's good that he's still going to be involved in some way.
Yeah, the thing about you saying he won't go to a Red Bull seat interested me, because there was, I think, at one point talk of Bottas going to Williams, but then obviously they've signed a Red Bull driver now, which shocked everyone. I don't think anyone ever expected to see Albon in the Williams, but I think Bottas, if he was to end up in the AlphaTauri or a Red Bull, it would generate exactly the same response. It would be quite shocking to see him turn on Mercedes like that. And yeah, you mentioned about the other Alfa Romeo seat. I've seen a lot of rumours online. Amrit, who do you think is going to end up getting that seat?
Not Giovinazzi at this rate. No. Yeah, I think it's definitely time that they give someone else a seat. I think that's what we've shown from their strategy the other race, where Giovinazzi just wasn't happy with his team. I think there's definitely some tension. It would definitely go to an F2 driver. I just think if it was going to be Giovinazzi, it would have been announced by now, let's be honest. So, yeah. I mean, I am sad to see Raikkonen leave, but he's had a great career. So, yeah, I'm glad Bottas has got his seat in replacement. As April said, he deserves to carry on in the sport. And, yeah, I'm excited to see who Alfa Romeo will announce for that second seat, because it's not going to be Giovinazzi.
No, I don't think it will be. I think Giovinazzi knows it's his time, because we've heard him on the team radio, like, thanks for the great strategy, guys, after last week's race. He was not happy. And this week, his team radio after the race, he was just dead silent. Like, he didn't say anything to the team at the end of the race. So
yeah, even the commentators just don't mention him now when they're doing the commentary. He's just sort of there at this point.
I think it's pretty much a done deal with him leaving. Jasmine, if Giovinazzi continues racing, do you think he'd go to another series? Do you think he will continue racing at all? What do you kind of think the future holds for him if he is out of F1?
I don't know. I would like to see more of him. I feel like it would be a shame for his career in motor racing to be over completely. So yeah, I do think he'd go to another series, even if it's like dropping back to F2 or something like that. But yeah, hopefully he'll continue racing.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people mentioning things like DTM around his name as well, which obviously we know Albon moved to after he lost his seat. So I think that's definitely a potential as well. Now I'm going to move on to talking about a driver we haven't mentioned yet, Carlos Sainz, because in the sprint qualifying, he had an amazing start. He went up from sixth to second within the first lap. Obviously, he couldn't keep second and he lost it the place to Verstappen in the end, but he did finish third. And Ferrari is seeming really strong right now, obviously taking third in the Constructors' Championship at the moment as well. I've seen a lot of people saying that they're a team to watch next year in 2020 with the new regulations. April, do you agree with that?
I think they'll be good. I think they'll be better. But I I mean it's kind of all up in the air, like we don't know anything, but I wouldn't predict that like Ferrari are going to be winning the world championship or anything like that, or one of their drivers winning the driver's championship, because I don't know, Ferrari seem to like just like snooker themselves with the whole breaking the rules of the engine, and they've got like a long way to go back, and yes, there's like completely new regulations and stuff, and it's kind of like everyone's starting, you know, from a bit more of a level playing field. But you know, Ferrari have had to develop this year's car because this year's car wasn't beating McLaren consistently. And yeah, in recent races, it seems like Ferrari have been beating McLaren, which makes me wonder if McLaren have put more of their emphasis onto next year's car, which in a way, you know, every team does have to look to next year because that's the future. And many multiple years in the future are going to have that sort of style of car. And I feel like there's some sort of like freeze after the first 1 or 2 years. So they have to make sure they sort of get it right at the start. Yeah, so I feel like Ferrari maybe are definitely on the up. Like they're not going to be dropping back to like sixth place or wherever they sort of were last year, and when they were getting like beaten on the straight by every other team, it seemed. But I don't think they're going to be winning the world championship. They'll probably still be around where they are, but I guess they're just hoping to close the gap to get more occasional podiums.
Yeah, obviously McLaren's bad performances this weekend were not really their fault. Obviously Lando Norris at the start was kind of Carlos's fault. Yeah. So, and then Danny Ric's retirement was nothing they could do. It was the engine, wasn't it? So there was nothing that could really be done about McLaren's poor performances. I think it was pretty much out of their control. And now we'll move on to Hamilton, because we all know he drove brilliantly in that sprint. He made it up to fifth from plumb last. So because of his engine penalty, he obviously ended up starting 10th on Sunday. What did you think to his sprint performance, Amrit? Were you impressed, or did you just expect him to do this now? He's Lewis Hamilton.
I mean, I was impressed, even though I did expect him to do it, because especially given Max's incredible performance over the past season, I did think, well, will Red Bull just like keep on top, like pull it out of the bag? But Hamilton literally just went for it. Like, you can tell that he's got his fire back in racing. I mean, I don't think it ever left that much, but I think, and now it's down to the last few, like the season's going to end soon, he's really like really just wants it now. You can tell, like, I think earlier in the season he was passionate, but now it's just another level. Like, I thought Verstappen would definitely win the Drivers' Championship, but now Hamilton is back on the cards for me after his performance this weekend, especially in the sprint.
Yeah, I think both Toto and Hamilton have said they've never had a weekend like this. I think Toto even called it like his favourite weekend that he's ever had with Mercedes, and the most impressive. He thinks it's the most impressive performance they've ever had. What did you think to his performance in the sprint, Jasmine? Were you impressed with Hamilton?
I mean, I was impressed with him, but at the end of the day, I did expect him to do well. Like, I think he's kind of in the past always shown that if he's had to start like further back on the grid due to like some kind of penalty, he's always managed to climb his way back up to the front. So I did expect him to do really well. But it is impressive that, I mean, skipping forward to the race, that he managed to win when he had to start 10th due to a penalty. So I think even though it was expected, it was still impressive, because I don't think another driver could have did what he did.
Yeah, definitely. I think we have come to expect it from Hamilton because of how great he's been in the past 7 years, but also the fact that we haven't seen much greatness from him, the focus hasn't been on him for the past few races, it kind of reminded everyone how good he is, I think. So seeing as this is the third sprint quali of the year and the final one, I kind of thought it would be a good opportunity to give our final thoughts and overall thoughts on the format. I'm going to come to each of you with this question. Do you think it works, and do you think it brings anything to the sport that the sport didn't already have? Would you like to see it introduced again next year? Do you think there's any changes that should be made with it at all? I'll start with you, April.
Yeah, okay. I feel like it's definitely bringing a lot, and the sort of idea of it was that maybe they wanted to like introduce new fans to the sport and like make it maybe more exciting, or make people seem like there's more going on. I feel like it's been helped such a lot by the fact that there is the Lewis against Max battle. I feel like maybe if it was like a previous year, or like 2019 or 2018, when Mercedes were really dominant, it wouldn't have been as exciting having sprint races in those situations, because it would have just been an extra race with Lewis Hamilton and Mercedes overall just dominating. But that being said, I still think it's definitely a good idea. That was just like, it's, I feel like the idea has been sort of sort of, it's been shown how amazing it can be in like a great championship year, but if we do have a bit more of like a dominant team sort of season, it might still be a bit boring, but it's definitely better than what we had before, so like it's still a step forward. Yeah, I do like it. Sorry, that made me sound like I really don't like it, but I do like the idea of sprint races. I don't know if they should be at every single weekend, because I feel like the fact we had just a few, it made them really like highlight how it was like just something different. So I like it, but I don't know about every race. I feel like some people might like it every race, but maybe not me.
Yeah, that was another big kind of question I was asking myself. Is it something that should be done every single race weekend? Is it better to just do it 3 times per season or something like that? Amrit, what are your overall thoughts on it?
I kind of agree with April. I think it's a good idea, and it does make it more exciting to watch as a fan, because you know, oh, it's sprint weekend, it's something a bit different. But I agree, I wouldn't want it every weekend. And I think as well, I remember when it first started, a lot of the teams were saying it's a bit of a pain because you have less practice sessions. So I don't know how it would work in the long term, whether the teams actually like the format. But I think it is a good addition to the sport when it's been the same for so many years. It just brings something new and exciting to it. And also, I think it gives the drivers more of a chance to prove themselves before the actual race. So if qualifying doesn't go as well as they hoped, it gives the sprint just gives them the extra boost to really get on track for the race. So yeah, I do think it's a good addition, but not every race. I agree.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that as well. Jasmine, what are your thoughts?
Well, I feel really boring here because I'm just agreeing with everyone else. But I do agree with both of you that it is an exciting addition. I think it has encouraged more people to watch like F1 on Friday and Saturday, whereas before, like, most people wouldn't bother watching the practice and would only tune in on the Saturday. So I think it's been quite successful at doing that, and it is quite good at generating excitement. So for example, Hamilton, he wouldn't have been able to start the race at P10. He would have had to have started at the back of the grid if the sprint qualifying wasn't a thing. So I think it's quite good at giving drivers a chance to kind of redeem themselves and just sort of generating more excitement, or more kind of like, oh, I don't know what's going to happen, this is more exciting kind of thing for the actual race. But I think sometimes if it did happen for every race, it can be quite a lot to watch over one weekend. It could be quite intense. So I think, yeah, maybe just sticking to having it for a few races over a season rather than every race has like worked out quite well.
Yeah, I mean, who wants to get up at like a 6 a.m. on a Friday and watch it or something? I feel like obviously a lot of like recency bias, but the most recent one was obviously on a Friday evening. It sort of was the start of the weekend. I really liked this one with Brazil, but I do know obviously a lot of people do have work and like even uni work and things like this, so not being able to watch the qualifying all the time if it's like midday on a Friday is potentially a bit of a negative about it, just because we've all been saying all the positives. But yeah, there's a few negatives, and maybe if they could position them on, you know, different weekends where it's like in different time zones, so like each sort of area that's watching, like, you know, Australia, Europe and America each get some that are like in their Friday night, because I think that's a good thing to sort of welcome people into it as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think the time zone really worked out well this time. It was really nice to be able to watch it in the evening, and it really worked out well for Hamilton, as you said, Jasmine. It really worked in his favour. Right, so we've mentioned the race quite a few times now, so I think it's time we move on to that. Before we start talking about the race, I just wanted to say that if you'd like to send any messages into the show, you can do so on the URM website, and we're going to be reading them out at the end. Now, without further ado, on to the race. We got some people to send some predictions into our Instagram before the race. Our at is Girls in Pole Position if you'd like to follow us. So we just thought we'd go back and see if anyone was right. So someone predicted that Max and Hamilton would crash. I think it's something that did cross a lot of people's minds, seeing as they've crashed every single time there's been a sprint qualifying this season. Amrit, did you think that was going to happen?
I did. I really did. Because especially with the championship being so close, I think, and both of them being such aggressive drivers now, like, I think Hamilton has turned a lot more aggressive in his driving style over the past few races. And with the new engine that Mercedes have, which just seems to be so fast, like last weekend, I did think the possibility for crashing would have been high, especially when the race would start. Like, it's one of the things where you brace yourself for a crash to happen, I think. So yeah, I'm not surprised someone predicted that, but yeah, I'm glad we didn't see a big crash.
Yeah, I kind of thought it might happen as well. Jasmine, did you?
Honestly, I kind of disagree. I feel like recently they've been quite good at avoiding incidents. They haven't been quite as aggressive as they have been with each other on the track in the past. and I feel like they've been a lot better at kind of understanding how far they can push each other. So I wasn't really expecting a major crash, but I mean, I could be wrong. I mean, obviously there wasn't a crash, but I could be wrong about future races. It might get a bit more competitive towards like the end of the championship.
A lot of people actually predicted Verstappen to win, which I'm not surprised about, because I think it's what I said on our podcast last week. I thought Verstappen was going to win. And people seem to think it would be either a mixture of Hamilton, Perez and Bottas on the podium. And someone even predicted a P2 from Sainz. And obviously, Sainz didn't manage to hold on to his podium finish like he started in, seeing as he started P3. Do you guys think a win is on the cards for him soon? Because it seems that he's very close. He's had quite a few podiums recently. April, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to what I was saying before about just generally about Ferrari. But I think he has more chances next year because, yeah, this year, it's kind of hard to explain, but I feel like this year, Mercedes and Red Bull are like quite a way ahead of Ferrari. So to get any sort of podium is a massive achievement for a team like Ferrari. Whereas I feel like next year, hopefully, there is going to be more of an even sort of level between all the teams. So, yeah, I feel like next year there's definitely going to be more chances for Ferrari to get podiums than... they would have some podiums like in the last few years since he's been at Ferrari. So I feel like a win is definitely going to be coming soon. He's a very good driver, and he proved that again with getting up to P2 in the first, you know, lap of the sprint race this week. And yeah, he's just been quite a consistent driver that seems to have been around like forever. Even like back when he was at, you know, Toro Rosso with Max, like in the very first year, he still like proved himself and like held his own against Max Verstappen, who obviously at the time was like the next hot young thing. So Sainz has done well like everywhere he's been, and he's finally, you know, in a big team, and hopefully Ferrari are going to get back to the front, and then yeah, he should definitely be getting some wins.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of this year with Ferrari and McLaren has been more about closing the gap between Mercedes and Red Bull and themselves rather than actually trying to beat them or overtake them. So it's very much been like damage minimization, like trying to get as close to them as possible rather than actually overtaking them. And yeah, Sainz at Toro Rosso was an interesting one, because I feel like he's kind of ended up being underrated because of that, because he came into the sport next to Max Verstappen, who is incredible, we all know that. And I think he kind of got overshadowed a lot in his early career, and I think people are really starting to realize how good he is in like even just like this year, but I was going to say in recent years, I think he's really earned like a reputation for being a very good driver. Jasmine, do you think he'll win a race soon?
I hope so. I feel like it's about time that he does win a race. I don't know if it'll happen for him this season, just because I feel like Verstappen and Hamilton are really kind of pushing themselves to win. But I feel like potentially it could happen for him next season, and hopefully it will.
Yeah, so those were all the predictions that we had. So moving on to the actual results now. We all know that Hamilton won. And we said in our last two episodes that the last two races have been very, very defining moments in Max's championship fight. Amrit, do you think this was a defining moment for Hamilton's championship fight?
Oh, definitely. Even Hamilton said himself that this was a defining moment in his whole career, like one of the most memorable race weekends he'll have. And I think in terms of the championship for this year, it definitely made people clear that he was still in it to win, and he wasn't going to let Verstappen overtake his shine, because at the end of the day he is a 7-time world champion for a reason, and he's not just going to give up at the last minute. He is still in the fight and will be for a couple more years. So it was very defining, and even the team, even Toto, everyone said it, like, he's still in it to win it, the game isn't over yet. That's exactly the quote they said.
Yeah, I would agree with that. April, do you think his engine upgrade was something that helped him to win, and the 5-place grid penalty was worth taking?
Yeah, I feel like obviously Mercedes are going to have the absolute like best strategy, you know, that they can think of, and the fact that they took it at this race I think does say a lot. And that's also like potentially why Hamilton was able to make up those 15 places in the sprint races, because you can overtake at Brazil. Like if this was Monaco and Hamilton was starting 20th, he wouldn't have got up to fifth in 24 laps, like absolutely no way, no matter how good you are. It's Monaco, it's very, very hard to overtake. So yeah, I feel like the best places for overtaking in Brazil are on the straights, and so having the best engine is like one of the most important parts. And yeah, having the engine upgrade definitely made him be a lot quicker than basically everyone on the straight. He was like catching, even when he was like battling with Max, and Max would sort of gain a little bit of an advantage through some of the corners, but on the straight Hamilton was still closing the gap every single time. And I mean, obviously Bottas slowed down a lot to let Hamilton by, but I think it would have been interesting to see Hamilton and Bottas actually driving full speed down the straight, because I still feel like Hamilton would have been able to breeze past him, because at this point Bottas's engine, I mean, is it old? Probably not too old, because he's taken so many engines during the season, but Hamilton's was literally brand new this weekend. And I think the Mercedes engine, when it's brand new, is better than any engine on the grid, but perhaps it's a bit less reliable than like Red Bull and maybe even Renault. Yeah, but at this point, with the fastest engine in this race, in this situation, in this weekend, I think that was a big, big part of why he could overtake everyone.
Yeah, Brazil is such a good track for overtaking, as you said, and I think he was just unstoppable. It was so impressive that he managed to move right from the back of the grid throughout the sprint race and the race, like right up to the front by the end. And overall, he ended up taking 25 places of penalty with all of it added up together. Was it something you expected him to be able to do, Jasmine, to move right to the front? And do you think Max could have done the same had he been in that position, or do you think he's just not got enough experience yet compared to Lewis?
I think, as I have mentioned before, that Hamilton's quite good at being able to start near the back and then work his way up to the front, so I did expect him to at least get onto the podium, especially since, as April mentioned before, that Brazil's quite a good race for overtaking. But I didn't necessarily expect him to win. Like, of course I hoped that he would, but I was still a bit unsure, especially since Red Bull have been really good the past few races. So I was both surprised and impressed that he won the race. I'm not sure if Max could have done the same, because even though in Russia he started at the back of the grid and came P2, I think that Max would have struggled like to do this in this race and come first, because I just feel like he doesn't have enough experience, or the same experience that Hamilton does. But at the same time, I feel like we can't underestimate Max, and maybe he would have been able to do the same. Who knows?
We'll never know. That's the thing. We will never know. And talking about Max, we've got to bring up the incident, haven't we? We can't not mention the incident where it looked very much like Hamilton got shoved off the track. Max didn't really look like he turned into the corner. However, the FIA didn't seem to have any onboard footage of Max's car at that time, so it's kind of difficult to know what happened, and they decided not to give him a penalty after Christian said, just let them race. do you think Verstappen shoved him off track, and do you think he deserved a penalty, Amrit?
I think he definitely deserved a penalty. I remember when we were all watching it yesterday, it was just so annoying to watch that they didn't give him a penalty when he clearly shoved him on the side of the track, that there was no room. I just think, yeah, it is very annoying that he didn't get a penalty for that. But then I think with the FIA and Red Bull in general, it just seems like there's a big scandal going on. Like, it just doesn't seem right. There's something going on behind the scenes. I really did think he should have got a penalty, because he was shoved right off the track. Like, it was clear to watch from an audience perspective. So yeah, I'm hoping that will be investigated again, but it won't be, let's be honest.
Yeah, it seems unlikely, because the FIA just don't seem to have that onboard footage of Max at that time. Jasmine, if they did have that footage, do you think that the outcome of that incident would have been very different?
Well, I'd like to hope so, because watching it on screen, it was clear that Max didn't turn at the corner when he should have. He just kept carrying on in a straight line, and therefore Hamilton had no choice but to be pushed off track. So I feel like if they saw footage of his steering wheel and the fact that he didn't turn when he was supposed to, they would hopefully review it and think, okay, yeah, like, that wasn't right. He shouldn't have done that. He deserves a penalty.
Yeah, we all know Max likes to play a bit dirty and push the rules a bit at times. So at the end of the day, it didn't affect Hamilton's performance, so a penalty wouldn't have changed anything. So I guess we might as well just leave the situation how it was and move on from that. So there was also a very similar incident, actually, with Yuki Tsunoda and Lance Stroll, where Tsunoda ended up getting a penalty because he ended up getting hit by Lance. Do you think that that was deserved? It's very difficult to know as a spectator. Was it Stroll who was at fault because he didn't leave enough space for Yuki? Or did Yuki just unrealistically send it when there wasn't any space for him to do so and then ended up causing a collision? April, what do you think?
Yeah, I feel like you explained it well, but you can definitely fight sort of both sides of the argument, which is why we always hear and like see the team bosses coming on the radio sort of like fighting their own corner, fighting for their driver. And I don't know if we actually did see any sort of FIA to AlphaTauri and FIA to Aston Martin sort of messages, but I think that's been just completely unrelated. But I think those messages being played out on, you know, the international feed has been such such a good thing that they've done this year. I don't know when the first one was, but I was like, oh gosh, they've got an actual message between Michael Massey and all the other race directors going straight to the team. I think that's such a big improvement in like the transparency and just sort of understanding how different people work during the weekend, because like to some extent, what do the team bosses do? We don't really know, but this is sort of a little insight into their world. But yeah, back to the question. I'm not sure who's at fault, to be honest. I don't know. I haven't watched it closely. And even if I watched it closely, I probably still wouldn't know, because I don't know if even those drivers know. Stroll probably feels like, oh, maybe I turned in a bit too soon, but I believe I had got ahead and I believe I was sort of had the right to take the racing line. And then Yuki Tsunoda probably as well believes that he had the right to go for that gap, because you know, the classic saying, if you're not going for a gap anymore, you're not a racing driver. So yeah, exactly. He was trying his best to get that overtake. And yeah, he probably was trying to show himself, because he's had a little bit of a few bad moments in sort of recent races. And through the year, he's still a rookie, so he's going to have a few bad moments. And he was trying to make this a good one, but it really didn't turn out like that. And yeah, it was just another unfortunate thing that Yuki Tsunoda's done.
Yeah, I think Stroll probably just thought, he should back off, he should move out my way. And then Yuki probably thought, he should move out of my way. It was probably both of them having very similar thoughts, actually. And I think in terms of what you said about the like team fighting for their drivers, I think they've got to back their own drivers. I think even if it is a bit ambiguous about whose fault it was, they've got to at least try and back their own driver and get some kind of penalty for the opposing team. But yeah, I do think it was very difficult to tell who was at fault there. And yeah, I've really enjoyed hearing Michael Massey interacting with the team principals. I've seen him on social media getting nicknamed Michael Sassy, because he is so sassy with them. Like, there's been so many incidents where they've
sassy
shown him
responses
messages.
As well.
Yeah, he really does go for it. Like, the one where there was one a few weeks ago where it was like, and Raikkonen's okay to do that. And he was like, and it was just brilliant. Do you think that Amrit, that the way he interacts with them is right? Do you think he should be more respectful, or do you just think it's funny because of how he is, how sassy he is?
I think it's funny to watch from a fan's perspective, but yeah, I think maybe more professionalism is needed on the track. But I think, yeah, at the end of the day, emotions get involved. It is racing at the end of the day, so I don't think the team radios should be deeped that much.
Yeah, I think Michael Massey loves it, to be
honest.
Yeah,
I think he does
loves it when there's an incident. He loves it when there's someone, you know, calling him, ringing him up to complain about something. I think he thrives off it. So
yeah, I do love when Toto went, Michael, I've sent you an email. I don't check my emails. That
I
was
don't
my
check
standout.
My emails during
that was
the
my
race.
Standout moment from the
that
whole
was
season.
Absolutely brilliant. I don't access my emails during the race,
yeah.
Toto.
Yeah, I think he has to be firm with them though. Like, because otherwise the team principals just think they can do what they want, drivers can do what they want. So, yeah.
Especially when you've got team principals like Christian Horner.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you need to put your foot down.
He needs to be sassy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't fight Christian sass without bringing sass back.
Exactly.
So, obviously, we've kind of spoken about this race a lot, but I did want to look to the future as well, just before we go to any messages that we've got sent in. So, I just wanted to ask about Qatar. Obviously, it's quite hard to make predictions with this one because it's only just been added to the calendar for this year. But following this weekend, Jasmine, do you have any predictions for the race?
Well, I really hope that Hamilton wins again. So I'm predicting that. I'm kind of manifesting that and hope that happens. I think that we're going to have a similar podium to what we had last weekend, with maybe Hamilton, Verstappen and Perez, or potentially Bottas in third place instead of Perez. But yeah, that's my kind of prediction.
Yeah, I definitely agree that it's going to be pretty similar. But obviously, there could be some surprises thrown in. April, do you have any predictions at all?
I mean, I feel like it's pretty obvious that Red Bull and Mercedes are going to be at the front. We've never been to this track before. I don't know if this track's been raced on by any cars. Maybe there's been like something, or maybe like motorbikes. I haven't really looked into this too much. It's a little bit too far away personally for me. But we will probably find out when we get to the practice sessions, you know, which teams are going to be a bit stronger on this track. But I mean, it's just getting to the end of the season, so all the teams are just going to be fighting, you know, down to the wire. And yeah, like we were just saying about the team bosses, they'll be, you know, probably doing lots of tactics and trying to suss out each other and claim that they're going to be amazing on this track because of all these reasons. And we won't know until we actually get to the track, because we've never driven there before. And yeah, I mean, hopefully it's going to be a good weekend and a good race. It's not the sprint race which we're, you know, just used to from just now. So I think it'll be interesting to see when it goes back to those full three practices. You know, that's going to be a lot of time to practice on a brand new track. And I think in this case, that is needed. When you go to a brand new track, you do need quite a bit of practice. So yeah, it'll be interesting for sure.
Yeah, I definitely think the drivers will find those practice sessions really useful. I think the fact that it's a new track, we needed those three practice sessions for the drivers to really get used to it. Otherwise, the race would have probably been extremely chaotic. So I'm on to my final question now, and I'm going to bring this one to you, Amrit. With three races left in the championship, do you think that the championship fight is going to go down to the last race of the season at Abu Dhabi?
Oh, yes, definitely. Like, I think Mercedes seemed to have new tactics as well, I think. From the weekend, I remember Bottas's radio, that he wasn't happy with the strategy. Hamilton wasn't happy with the strategy where they went. We could have easily had a 1-2. So I do think Mercedes are really fighting, A, for the constructors and for the drivers' championship. So I think to the last moment it's going to come down to, literally the last few laps of the season, it will come down to that, because yeah, both teams aren't going to let go now. Like, it's too close to the end. And yeah, I really hope it's a Hamilton win for the world championship. Just one last time. Yeah, Verstappen can have his moment next year.
Yeah, only thing I was going to say is, sorry to try and burn, sorry. Just that, I mean, I really hope it goes to the last race, because the only way it's not is if one of them like crashes or their car breaks or the engine breaks or something. And I really, really hope that doesn't happen. And obviously there's only three races left, but it is normally, you know, in the last races when, you know, things have been worn down through the entire year and you're, you know, on the engine's on its last legs and stuff. So I just really hope that there's no sort of reliability issues, because if that ends up deciding the championship, everyone's going to be so disappointed after such a good year. So we've just all got to hope, like, even whether you want Hamilton to win or Max to win or whatever other driver you're supporting, you've just got to hope that no one's car is the reason that they're not doing well.
I definitely agree. The only reason I am slightly worried about it going down to the last race is I'm pretty sure last year Max won at Abu Dhabi, so that makes me a bit scared, seeing as I am a bit of a Lewis supporter, but we'll see what happens. I just want to move quickly on to the message that we've got sent in. We got a message sent in about Max and whether he should have got a penalty for his defence against Hamilton. We talked about this a bit earlier, but this messenger has said that there seems to be some inconsistencies in these overtaking rules, which I definitely agree with. Jasmine, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think there definitely is something going on there that isn't, there's something that, some kind of bias that isn't being checked or something happening. Because I think previously, like Pierre got a penalty for something that I think was really harsh. So I think, yeah, there's definitely something that's not quite right. Like, maybe if it was the other way around, and Hamilton had been the one to push Verstappen out, I feel like Christian Horner would have kicked up a massive fuss, and then I feel like Hamilton would have gotten a penalty as a result. So I feel like there is something going on there that we're not really quite aware of, and there is definitely some kind of inconsistency.
Yeah, what do you think, April?
No, yeah, I think, yeah, saying about Christian Horner, it's like the team bosses shouldn't have any role in it, but they kind of do. And like you said, if Christian Horner was the one kicking up a massive fuss, it probably would have maybe made the stewards like think twice about it, and it really shouldn't be like that. Like, the refs should be allowed to like do their job in whatever sport. And yeah, I wouldn't say like he definitely should have got a penalty or he definitely shouldn't. I feel like it's such a like murky line, but they just need to decide what they're going to do and then do the same through the whole season. Obviously now it's literally the end of the season, but for 2022 they need to like make a decision and then stick with it the whole year. I mean, every sport does this. Like in the Premier League, a handball is like change the rules of like what is allowed and stuff halfway through the season. Like, the refs need to just make their minds up and yeah, stick to it so it's fair, because that's the only thing we want, really.
It's like what you said about car regulations earlier. They have to be stuck to, or it just kind of descends into chaos. So yeah, I definitely agree with that. They should be giving every single driver and every single team the same penalties for the same offences. Honestly, part of me just thinks the race directors are a little bit scared of Christian Horner, because I would be. So who can blame them? But they need to put their foot down with him, because sometimes when he gets on the phone, he does get quite intense about it. So yeah, it will be interesting to see what happens in these next few races. I think we'll wrap things up now, because we've covered pretty much everything. Thank you for listening. We've been Girls in Pole Position. You can find our podcast on Spotify, Apple and all other podcast providers. And we'll actually be back on air live next Thursday at 6 p.m. to talk about the Qatar Grand Prix, which is happening next weekend. So we'll see you then. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.